I invite your attention to the book of Mark chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I want to preach on the subject, the greatest words ever heard, Thy sins be forgiven thee. Before us in this context, we have a helpless man with palsy. Here we see the helplessness of this man, that he could not go where Jesus was. And what a vivid example of the sinner whom the Bible says, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. How helpless and hopeless the sinner is without a work of God. We also see four concerned men, which teaches us, beloved, the great necessity of having a concern for those who are in need. And then, most of all, we see a wonderful, compassionate Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this text, we hear the greatest words that a man could ever hear. There are never any words, beloved, that you'll ever hear that will ever be of more value than if you were to hear these words by the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy sins be forgiven thee. It's very interesting, beloved, how that the words of Jesus Christ stand in drastic contrast to the words of the law of God. When Christ came into the world, He did not come into the world to condemn the world. And the reason that He did not is because the world was condemned already. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You understand, beloved, that the law of God cries to you and it says guilty. It says condemned. It says for you to be troubled about your sin. Don't take any comfort in your law keeping. Don't take any comfort, that is, in your supposed law keeping. Don't take any comfort in your religion. Don't take any comfort in your good works. If you're to have any comfort at all, you must hear the words of the Savior, Thy sins be forgiven thee. We see in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 what the law says. The law says condemned. Romans 2 and verse 11 says, For there is no respecter of person with God, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And it will take absolute perfection on your part to be a doer of the law of God. So the law of God condemns you, as Romans chapter 3 says, and Romans 3 and verse 9 says, What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, that is right here in Romans, he's proved in the previous verses, no and in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And as another place says, they're under the law. They're under sin, under the law, under weight, under the guilt, under the condemnation of the law. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And verse 19 says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Mark chapter 2, in contrast to what the law says, notice what Jesus says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, what blessed words, where Jesus Christ accounts Him as His own, and He calls Him Son, and He says, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to look at this text this afternoon and pray that God will use it to bless you, and that if you're lost, that you might come to realize your great need of a Savior and find such a Savior as I've found in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we find a man with a great need. He had a great need to be healed. The Bible says in verse 3 that he was sick of the palsy. This idea of palsy means to be loose on one side, to be paralyzed. And we don't know what caused the palsy, and that's really irrelevant to the facts of the case before us. He could not walk, and he could not get to where Jesus Christ was. This man was so sick with the palsy that he had to be born of four. And this man was completely helpless, and he was completely hopeless. But this man had a greater need. It was far greater than his physical need of being healed. Jesus Christ didn't heal this man to show off. Jesus Christ didn't heal this man because he had to heal this man. He showed those around him that he could heal and that he was thereby the Messiah. But what you find very interesting in this story, that the greater need of the man is dealt with first. The greater need is the need for the forgiveness of sins. He sees a need that would be a lasting healing. He sees the need that would be an eternal healing, and that is the forgiveness of sin. But anyway, we find that all men are in the same condition as this man with the palsy. You may not have this kind of palsy, but you are still paralyzed. You are paralyzed in your sin. You are bound by your sin. You are kept under your sin, and you cannot free yourself. Just like a man with a palsy cannot stretch forth his hand on his own. So it is, beloved, that the sinner, apart from the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God, a man can never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in great need. The Bible says in John 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, man is in a horrible condition in his sin. He's so bound up in his sin and so tied up to his sin and so much under the weight of the law of God that he could never, if he wanted to, and he doesn't, if he wanted to, he could never get to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is dead in his sin. John chapter 5 says in verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Not only can he not come, but he will not come. Not only will he not come, but he cannot come. He is bound in his sin, and he's not able to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how pitiful, how helpless man is, just like this man of the palsy. Man of his own and by his own cannot better himself. He will not better himself. I've heard men talk about, if you'll make the first step, then God will take the second step for you. Beloved, the Bible presents man in such a condition that he can't make a step. He's so bound by his sin. He's so full of himself. He's so full of his self-righteousness. He'll never give up his sin. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 this, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Listen, beloved, there has never been, and there will never be a man that stirs himself up to take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is not able to. Man will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so man is bound by his sin. He's bound by the chains of his sin, and he cannot and he will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, beloved, you stand helpless. You stand the hopeless. And you stand in the need. The need's not for Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't have the need for you. You have a need for Him. You see, beloved, in this religious world in which we live today, things are flipped upside down. Men are taught that God's trying to do everything that He can do to get them to Himself, but that all they'll have to do is to work and make the first move. But the problem is that we're all like this man of the palsy, bound in our sin. Without Jesus Christ, you stand in need of the forgiveness of your sin. You're the one that has the need, not the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one that needs the Savior. You're the one that's drowning. You're the one that's out in the lifeless sea. You're the one, beloved, that has no hope. It's not Jesus Christ that doesn't have hope. It's you that do not have hope. It's not God that cannot do. It's you that cannot do. And so, beloved, there is a man with a great need. A great, great need. And then we find four men with great faith. These men saw a need. They were moved to do something about the need. And they had compassion on the poor, helpless man with the palsy. Notice to what extent they went in to get this man to Jesus. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3 it says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I want you to see the extent to which these men went to bring this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you picture in your mind this great room full of people? And they were listening to Jesus Christ preach the everlasting, eternal Word of God. And here He's preaching the Word of God and teaching them. And they hear a ruckus up in the roof. And dust particles begin to fall in the midst of where Jesus is here. They hear this clatter on the rooftop. And their eyes are taken off of the Son of God. And they look up and some light begins to break through. And then this man on his bed is lowered down to where Jesus is. Oh, my beloved, what great extent these people went to get this poor, helpless, lost man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, this teaches us a vital lesson. It teaches us that we are to go the extra mile and pray the extra prayer and patiently witness and to use every scriptural means to bring men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men can't come to Jesus Christ on their own. We who have been saved by the grace of God should lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, they knew who to take this man to. They had faith in the power of Christ. Our text says, when Jesus saw their faith. These four men, they had faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, beloved, you're responsible to bring men to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're responsible to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ if you've been saved by the grace of God. Do we really believe that Jesus is able to meet the sinner's need? Is He able to forgive sin? And if we believe that, beloved, then why aren't we telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ more often? We need to take sinners to the only one that can save them. You'll notice, beloved, that these men did not take them to religion. He did not take them to a priest. Oh, well, he took them to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't take them to some earthly priest. These men did not take this man to a faith healer. He didn't take them to baptism. He didn't take them to an altar. He didn't take them to a mass. He didn't take them to Mary. He didn't take him to some confessional booth. What these men did is they took this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't run him down an altar. They didn't try to get him to pray through. They didn't try to do a host of things that men try to do today. They didn't try to lead him in the sinner's prayer. They took this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, beloved, that if you're ever to be saved, you must be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to see yourself as the sinner you are. You must come to realize by the power of the Spirit of God that you cannot do anything for yourself, that you cannot save yourself, and that if you're to be saved, you're to be saved by the grace of an eternal God. If you're to be saved, you're to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's not in a plan. Salvation's in a man. It is the man Christ Jesus. Oh, my beloved, salvation is in and only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ will do. Nothing else will do for your salvation. And these four men had great faith. Oh, beloved, the reason that I'm preaching to you today is because I have faith. I have faith in my Redeemer. I have faith that He is able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by Him. I pray that God would use this message to draw you to the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to show you how beautiful He is and how that He is able even to save you from your sin. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is salvation and no other. There's no other way. There's no other plan. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you're ever to be saved, it won't be by law keeping. It won't be by following some religious leader. It will be by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect Savior who offered a perfect sacrifice and who provides a perfect salvation. Jesus Christ or nothing. And then I want you to notice a Savior with great power. Jesus had power to forgive sin. Jesus Christ. Now those four men that brought this man to Jesus Christ did all they could do. They could never utter the words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." These four men did what they could do, but there were some things that they could not do. You see, beloved, there are some things that the sinner cannot do on his own, by his own power and his own will and his own strength. And there are some things that men can never do for sinners that are lost. That's the truth, beloved. Now, you may be deceived. You may have think that, well, your mother had you baptized when you were a little baby, and because of that, your sins are forgiven. But that's just not true. There are just some things, beloved, that you cannot do, and there are some things that people cannot do for you. These men did what they could do. The only thing that we can do is bring sinners to Jesus Christ and say, "Here they are, Lord. Here's some sinners for you. Would you see fit to save them?" Jesus had power to forgive sin. He says in verse 5, "And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk.' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house.'" You see, Jesus says here in verse 10, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Jesus Christ has power to forgive sin. Some question the power that Jesus Christ had to forgive sin. And there are those that question it today. You may question it today because you are so bound in your sin, because you are so depraved, you have animosity against the Lord Jesus Christ, animosity against the only one that can save you. And you may hate Him, and no doubt you do hate Him today if you've not trusted in Him. But the fact is, beloved, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive your sin. And Jesus proved He had power to forgive sin whenever He said to this man, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the Bible says, "And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all." Oh, what a wonderful blessing. Jesus Christ proved who He was. He proved that He was the Son of God. He proved that He had the power to forgive sin. This man was healed by Christ to manifest His power to forgive sin. Some might ask, why did Jesus do miracles when He was here? Well, it wasn't to be a showman. It wasn't to be a charlatan. It wasn't to raise great amounts of money for His own cause. It wasn't so He could have the Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association. You can be assured of that. Jesus Christ healed people of their sicknesses, and He didn't heal everybody of their sicknesses, by the way, but those that He did to prove who He was. Jesus Christ raised the dead to prove who He was. Jesus Christ opened the blinded eyes to prove who He was. Jesus Christ opened the deaf ear to prove who He was. And Jesus Christ proved who He was. And so by doing so, He proved that He is the Son of God and has a right as our sinless substitute to forgive sin. Jesus is the only one who has the right to save these blessed words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." There is no man on this earth that can utter those blessed words to you. There is no priest, there is no pope, there is no potentate that can ever forgive your sins. The only one that can forgive you of your sins is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a right to say to who He will, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Because in the book of John chapter 17, it teaches us that Jesus Christ has a right to forgive sin because of His work. In John 17 and verse 2 it says, "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Jesus Christ can and will give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do." Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came into this earth. He lived a sinless life, and He proved on the cross that He was able to bear sin in His body on the tree, and He there satisfied the just demands of God, and He said in a loud voice, "It is finished." And 3 days later, God the Father said, "Yes, it is," and Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Now, I want you to know, beloved, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive sin. And then there are the glorious results. The man was forgiven. This was proven by his deliverance. This was proven by he was a different man. He began to move and to walk like he'd never walked before. And God was glorified. And God is glorified only in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, beloved, when God comes and saves a sinner, He changes his life for the better. The book of Ephesians teaches us this wonderful truth. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Oh, let that sink down, beloved. We're not made Christians by what we do. We're made Christians by what He has done for us. We are not made Christians by what someone does to us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that salvation is a divine work of a sovereign God, wherein He declares the sinner justified in His sight. Created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, beloved, the works follow salvation. The works do not give salvation. God is the one that works salvation. And so men saw something that they had never seen before in our text. The man was forgiven. And this was proven by the difference in his life. I pray that God would use this message to draw you to the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to show you how beautiful He is and how that He is able even to save you from your sin. I want you to know, beloved, that God knows your heart. God knows your life. God knows how you have violated His law. And God knows how weak and how helpless you are to relieve yourself from the guilt and the weight and the burden of a wasted life in sin. The only one that can relieve your sin debt is the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who has the right to say these blessed words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee."